This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, doing good. Doing good. It's a crazy day. It is thoroughly crazy. Just trying to, getting ready for the podcast. Of course, 10 minutes before I go to my bag to pull my computer out, and my computer's at home, so I had to run home and go get it. And of course, when I go home, the dog wants to go out, and the family wants to say hey, and it gets complicated, you know.
Nah, man.
Man, we're back in the saddle, and excited to be here, man. What's going on with you?
Oh man, it has been it's been a very kind of an emotional time, if I'm being honest. I shared this with you yesterday, and I thought I'd share it a little bit with my audience. But my grandmother passed away yesterday morning, and you know, it's interesting because I was just talking to my mom the night before, and we were talking about my grandmother. And we had thought, you know, she's been on hospice, and honestly, we thought that she was going to go maybe a couple months ago. Like, we were all, like, emotionally prepared. You know how that is. You go through the motions with a loved one who's kind of, you know, on the tail end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you emotionally process for what's to come, and then, you know, sometimes they bounce back. And not only do they bounce back, but they bounce back hard, and they're like, oh, okay, they're still kicking. Okay, all right. And
so, yeah.
Which is a weird thing, but because you're, on the one hand, you know, you're happy, but on the other hand, it's like, oh man, well, I just went through this grieving process for this person who's alive, but obviously won't be for terribly long. And so it's just this whole emotional thing. But
yeah,
anyway, she was going so strong, and you know, they were sending pictures, and you know, honestly, man, it's been a blessing. And y'all, I apologize. I know I'm getting us off on a tangent at the beginning of the show, and I know a lot of y'all hate that, so I'll make this quick. But
it's okay, man. Glad to walk with you.
It's a real blessing because she was on hospice. They made a special exception for people that were on hospice at her healthcare center.
Oh, good.
So my dad, over these last couple of weeks, and I think almost about 2 months, has actually been able to visit his mom, which he would not have otherwise, just because of, you know, the lockdowns and everything. And so they were able to get some real special time at the end. Anyway, so it's been a kind of an emotional time because, you know, my grandmother, with her death, marks the end of that generation in my family. You know what I mean?
Wow. Like, so she was the last one on that level, huh?
Yeah. At this point, both my grandmothers have died. Both my grandfathers have died. Now, my step-grandmother, who is basically my grandmother, I'm just, you know, still alive and doing very well. But in terms of, like, my biological relatives of that era, that's an entire branch of the tree, you know, that has run its course.
When that happens, you know, you feel it's kind of this ominous deal where it's like, okay, well, they've left it to the next generation now, and you know, that's I don't know, that makes you swallow kind of hard, you know.
Yeah.
But man, I know this is a tender time for your family, but and it sounds like, you know, there at the end, everybody was able to, you know, have some time with her, or at least, you know, at least your father and folks were able to you know, make that a special moment. And I know it's difficult. I sure do. So,
yeah, man. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, one of the things that we miss during this time is being able to see family. And, you know, it looks like we're going into a holiday season where that's going to be not very likely on our end. But, you know, the great thing is, man, we've got a beautiful family of listeners that tune in every single week. And, man, we gotta make mention. We got to give special attention to somebody because I don't know about you, and I hope this is true of you as well, so I'm not about to, like, brag in front of your face. I got an incredibly generous Christmas gift, early Christmas gift from one of our listeners. Did you
so
also?
So did I.
Okay.
So did I. I sure did, man. It was kind of out of control.
Oh, man. All right. So longtime listeners know. I mean, like, you know, there's the great thing is, you know, this is obviously you tune in, you hear me and John David's voice every single week. But, you know, there's names that come up from time to time. And, you know, we've got active listeners who are engaged and have been engaged for quite some time. So you recognize different names and characters over the course of this show. And of course,
a lot of nicknames, you know,
of nicknames. And man, Mark VV has been one of our longtime listeners and just a fervent supporter and just a good friend here. He sent a package. It was really funny, man. I got a message from Mark And he's like, hey, did you get a package today? And I was like, nope. He's like, okay. Are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I don't think I did. And he kind of messaged us like, okay, because I need to figure out. It says it was delivered, and it's not a cheap package or something like that. I can't remember what it is. But
it's very important that we locate this package.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, no pressure or anything. But if we could confirm this arrived where it was supposed to, man. So I went out, and typically they drop off the packages at the door. This one went into our mailbox, so I was able to find it. And man,
there you go.
I found, and I mean, this is a gorgeous, gorgeous Ardor pipe. That Mark gifted me, and let me tell you, man, this is a beautiful pipe. And on top of that, you know, it's got that acrylic, you know, that green, just beautiful stem, nice silver band to it. Man, beautiful pipe. I've always wanted one of these pipes, and like I could never quite bring myself to put it over the edge. And man, I am thrilled, man. So big shout out to Mark.
Man, no kidding. I too, man, it was so precious. He you know, sent us a package here in Jackson as well, and man, opened it up, and it was also a beautiful Ardor from his personal collection. And man, just so incredibly, obviously over the top generous. And you know, I actually don't have an Ardor pipe. I've never smoked one. It's one of those brands that has always been on my list. We occasionally carry Ardors here at the Squire, but don't you know, have a huge selection of them. But it's always a pipe that I'm like, man, those are handsome pipes, and I'd love to have one. And and now I do, and it's from one of my closest friends, so it's really just really special. So anyway, man, all this to say, shout out to Mark. Thank you so much for your kind gift to us, and just support over the years. We love you and your young growing family, and man, you're part of our fabric.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
Yeah, I know. Mark and I are in kind of the same basket, kind of a similar fraternity with our wives being active in the healthcare industry during all this. So I know we've had some shared experiences from that standpoint, being concerned for our families. And anyway, Mark, I want you to know, bro, I love you so much. And this is huge. I can't wait to enjoy this. I'm planning on enjoying this on camera soon. I don't know exactly when. I need to do a video update anyway. And so it's always whenever I have a little new something or another, I'm like, oh yes, this is a good reminder that I need to jump on the old YouTube and and do a little talking ahead and maybe pack a little tobacco in there and enjoy this bad boy. But man, this is a gorgeous pipe. So again, Mark, thank you so much. Early Christmas gift received, sir. So sleep easy. We found them all right. Man, okay, so we got so much going on. A lot of things going on in the world of pipes and of Country Squire Radio. You know, we've got our upcoming Best Of series. We've mentioned it the last couple episodes, so I won't go too deep into it. Suffice to say, we want your nominations for the best products and product makers of 2020. If you head over to CountrySquireRadio.com, you'll see a button there where you'll be able to click and nominate your choices for the Best Of. We need those in by Christmas. So go ahead and head over there, do those. And yeah, this is a great time to do it.
And as we mentioned, you know, the past several episodes as well, just real quickly, Bo, for a few of the categories, we're looking for products that debuted this year. So accessory, artisan blend, tinned tobacco, and the pipe. And the pipe is going to be like a series of pipes, like a new line that has come out or a new artisan pipe that debuted as well. So, you know, something like that. But anyway, you know, the rest of them, you can, you know, pick anybody. We like to mention that because every year, you know, it's like, hey, what's the best tin tobacco of 2020? And it's like, oh, well, you know, Dunhill Nightcap. And well, it, you know, that debuted in 1850.
Right, right.
So let's pick something a little more current. But yeah, anyway, so look forward to getting those. And we appreciate folks that have already participated in that.
That's right, man. Well, hey, you know what? I know you have a crazy cigar bar wedding story, but you know, we'll have to save that, I think, for next week so we can go ahead and dive in.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, that's good. We, yeah, we had a interesting time. So it was,
yeah,
it was great.
Nothing like nothing like a great cigar bar at a cousin's wedding party in Nowheresville, Mississippi. Can't wait to hear all about it. Man. Okay. So I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding. Kind of.
Exactly.
Not really. Man, we have got an amazing show, and we haven't even, we're getting too crazy. We haven't even dived into the products here. This is a Squire Select, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh. Ooh, I always loved
Absolutely. And the last time we did a Squire Select, it was kind of a different type of Squire Select because I was in town, and you know, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. But man, we're going back to a little bit more of a classic now. For those who have not experienced a Squire Select before, this is where we take a beverage, generally speaking, a whiskey or brown water type of beverage, and pair it up with a pipe tobacco. Now, we've done this with other things as well, but whiskeys are really kind of the bread and butter of this particular series. And man, we wanted to up the ante a little bit here in the season of turkey by doing two turkey-focused bourbons. That was a pretty good. Have you ever actually been turkey hunting out of curiosity?
I never have. I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but I'm the world's worst.
That's right.
Mississippian. I guess I should say I'm Mississippi's worst.
You and I both, right? We are the worst ambassadors.
Never been hunting. I've never been hunting in my life. I own plenty of firearms, very familiar with them, comfortable with them, but I just am not a hunter. And for whatever reason, just never have gone. And so I've heard turkey hunting is hard. I've heard it's a lot of fun. It's like a chess match. You're sitting here kind of, trying to outsmart this creature. And, it can be really, frustrating because of the, low margins for error and all that kind of stuff. But,
neither have I. The closest I have ever been to hunting, man, I think, is I went beaver trapping with the judge one time. Have I ever told you that story out of curiosity? All right, well, that'll be another story for another time.
Okay, good.
We need to do that sometime. I don't know if our listeners would allow it, man, but if they...
They probably
we'll save it for episode 400. But yeah. All right, man. Which one of these two beverages, like I mentioned, these are turkey focused. They're both coming from the same distillery. And if that doesn't give you all the clues you need to put this together.
Yeah.
Man, which one do you want to dive into first?
Man, yeah. We're going to start today with Wild Turkey Rare Breed.
There it is. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. let's just go ahead and open that one up. Yeah. We are featuring two whiskeys today from the same distillery, and I'm excited about this. A lot of folks, maybe if you're not super familiar with the bourbon scene, the whiskey scene, you see different names on the wall at your favorite package store, and you may or may not know that some of these are related. Some of these brands have either started out in the same distillery or, are from the same group. Some of them have cannibalized each other, and so they're owned by a bunch of the same people, and some of them started together and split off. And, there's just all this drama, as you would expect from, anything that has to do with lots and lots of alcohol. So, man, Wild Turkey is no different, of course. They're a fantastic distillery. They're in Kentucky, the Wild Turkey Distillery. Obviously very storied. People rip on me all the time because basically the normal Wild Turkey is like my favorite whiskey. I mean, I just love it. I love Wild Turkey bourbon. And I call me trashy. I'm just guilty.
You're good, man. What are you talking about?
You do you. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, what we're talking about today is the rare breed, and so it's going to be a little a little different animal, as it were, than the normal Wild Turkey. But so they come out with from this distillery a lot of super premium stuff, and also some stuff that's a little more budget friendly. One thing that I like about Wild Turkey 101 is I can pick it up next door at our friends at the liquor store for around $20, and very affordable. Gets the job done for me. Has that really pleasant bite to it. It's just incredibly flavorful and has a nice nose on it that lets you know right out of the gate you're drinking something strong. And and so what they've done is they've kind of doubled down on that with the rare breed, which is a barrel proof whiskey that they've come out with and have had out for quite a while now. But it's funny, we've talked about Wild Turkey before, never done the rare breed, and then similar on the next whiskey that we'll talk about as well, talked about another version of it, but not the one we're discussing today. So, Bo, do you want to maybe describe the bottle and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so it's a beautiful bottle. I'm actually about to pop it open right here. Hang on. Oh. I hope I didn't slosh the microphone.
Excellent
right
sound effect. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, man. It's funny because you don't really think of. I'm not somebody who, when I hear Wild Turkey, I think of classy. But let me tell you something. The Wild Breed does have kind of that classy, kind of higher end type of kind of bottle feel to it. You know,
packaging.
Yeah, man, you got kind of the wider cork, kind of the wooden top to the cork and everything that kind of, you know, makes it, gives it a little bit more of something to pull on so that you could get that really good poop that you just heard whenever you're popping it open. You know, you've got the turkey in the background. You've got that rare breed and the gold branding as well. Jimmy Russell, who we're about to talk about more here in a minute with the next one, his signature is right there on it as the master distiller. And, you know, one of the things that's right up front and center in your face, man, is this is 116.8 barrel proof.
Yeah, and they don't shy away from do they, Bo? I mean, it's like they want you to know, like, man, you're doing business when you drink this whiskey.
Or you better not be doing too much business when you're drinking this whiskey, if you know what I
mean. You better not be. It'll be shady business. But yeah, you know, it is one of those whiskeys. Of course, the Wild Turkey 101 in a world awash of $20 whiskeys that are, you know, 90 proof. It was kind of always that whiskey that, you know, stood out above the rest. You know, it was the strong stuff, reach for the Wild Turkey, and so, you know, they you know, continued that here with the rare breed. It's you know, a very strong whiskey, which we'll get to in a, you know, some tasting notes here shortly. You know, but you know, quite a product.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And, you know, I got to make mention of this too. I mean, I know it's not, you want to talk about not shying away from it. There's no way you could shy away from this, because the second that you pop open this bottle and take a little bit of a whiff, man, your nostrils get singed. You don't even need a nose hair trimmer, man. You just need to, like, take a whiff of this.
It's strong, dude. It is. I mean, it is a very, you know, without tasting super medicinal, it, you know, you can smell it from the bottle.
Right.
I mean, just that it's, you know, it's here to get the job done, you know. you know, barrel proof, you know, whiskey here, and of course, uncut with water, you know, and of course, with the rare breed, they're actually pulling it from, you know, the top casks, the middle casks, the bottom. I mean, it's just kind of all over the map as far as the quality goes. But they've almost like a scotch, you know,
That's
they've right. blended this with a very thoughtful, you know, combination of their house bourbons in order to get this just right. And and boy, did they nail it! It's really excellent. Kind of has just some interesting flavors that we'll talk about. But yeah, I love this stuff. It's good. You know, it's one of those that doesn't have a description on the bottle, and you kind of, you know, really the only description you get is the 116.8 barrel proof, you know, that's on there. And for me, that's really all you need, because it's super strong, but it just touches a lot of different buttons. You know, it's pushing a lot of buttons for me, which, you know, I think is just indicative of a very good whiskey.
Well, all right, man. So shall we go ahead and dive in?
Cheers. Yes. Cheers.
Oh, man. Okay. So,
isn't it fine? It's so fine.
So going into this review, again, you love Wild Turkey. This is known. And as I've come to understand through kind of preparation for this episode, there's a lot of bourbon lovers who actually have a lot of respect for Wild Turkey. There's a, like, you know, snobs turn up their nose, like, in public, but in private.
Well, because it's called Wild Turkey.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
the problem.
That's,
I mean,
right.
It, you know, it and, you know, it is.
It's pre Matthew McConaughey. It had a bit of a feel, but now it's got Matthew McConaughey to give it, I wouldn't say class per se, but not quite.
Because it is Matthew
McConaughey. I mean, all right. Hey, you ever had someone as Wild Turkey? That's pretty good. No, he just lacks it. There's the No, man, this is no, you're right. It has that wild, you know, Wild Turkey. You think of kind of like ding 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 ding, you know, like whatever anybody thinks of with
right,
you know, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky. I mean, like, you know, there's you don't necessarily think of it as like a high-end bourbon, because it's not. And you don't necessarily kind of have that, you know, smoky leather chair with kind of the cigar resting there as you're wearing like a suit and conducting, you know, business dealings of the, you know, $5 billion.
Give me your finest
Wild
exactly. Turkey.
This is not the picture that comes to mind. So I think that there is a snob, especially like with, you know, more of kind of the millennial hipster, which we are. Mindset that kind of does turn its nose up to Wild Turkey. But here's the thing, man, like bourbon lovers, true bourbon lovers, in private, when it's like only like the experts around. There's a lot of like respect and praise that's given to Wild Turkey, especially, you know, with some of their, you know, diverse products like the ones that we're diving into today. Now, I will say this to the rare breed. I did not expect it to be good because I am not, I wouldn't say I'm a snob, but I'm also not a bourbon expert to the extent where I know to treat this with any kind of respect.
Well, and also you don't particularly like the regular 101. So, you know, you probably had an idea where, okay, well, this is probably better. It's probably, you know, more sophisticated or stronger or something like that. But, you know, it at the same time, you're thinking, okay, it's essentially the same product. And, you know, and what you're getting here is something that's a very different creature.
Very different.
than yes. The Wild Turkey 101. Yeah. And again, this is coming from someone that loves, you know, regular Wild Turkey. But, yeah, a fantastic whiskey. This one is here to do business. Again, it is strength right out of the gate. Lots of flavor right out of the gate. You have a semi-sweet flavor here, but really the power of it is very, very satisfying at first. It's not an overwhelming power, anything that's harsh or too sharp. It's just very warm and pleasing and well-rounded. You know, and I get lots of interesting notes from this. You know, some of the folks have mentioned even tasting things like tobacco as they're drinking Wild Turkey Rare Breed. You know, there's a citrus note to it, lots of baking spices, nutmeg, allspice that you get here, and it's a wintertime whiskey. It's a good, you know, cold weather whiskey, something to kind of warm you up and let you know that you're drinking something very savory. And I like it.
I'm a big fan. I mean, like you said, that it does have that kind of punch, which I really kind of like, Matt. I like the heat. I like the you know, there's a strong rye presence, which you get pretty instantly. And then of course it is that you know, you got the heat that comes with the 116 proof. So I'm very curious though, with all of this power that we're dealing with this rare breed.
Yeah.
You know, with a whiskey like this, with all this power, I'm kind of curious, like, what are you going to do with that? You're going to balance it out? You're going to try to lock it down? You're going to try to tame it out? You're going to try to smooth it down? Are you trying to up the ante? Like, where will John David Cole go with this pipe tobacco pairing? That's what I want to know.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting. One more note on the whiskey that kind of feeds into this. You know, I typically don't, you know, the 101 proof, that's about where my comfort level generally stops with whiskeys, is somewhere around 100 proof. You know, these bombs, these flavor bombs that have come out, we next door last year at the store, they had this, you know, kind of special edition Knob Creek that came out, and they were all 119 proof and all this stuff. Just, you know, really, you know, powerful. So I generally don't get into that, even 110 proof. It's just a little too strong for me. This is an exception. This is one of those things where the flavor really balances out the strength of it. And it's just a very well-rounded whiskey. It's a bourbon that, you know, it has the power that's there, and the heat that comes with that, and the pleasant sting, the, you know, medicinal flavor. But it also has a complexity to it that you get from things like the, you know, the kitchen spices and the warm, you know, citrus flavor that's there. Some say the tobacco flavor that's there. It's just really, really flavorful to me. So it's pushing a lot of buttons. And if I sound like a fanboy, I might be guilty of that. So I, you know, in essence, I really don't think this is one of those bourbons that you want to complement with a similar flavor. This is something where the bourbon is, by definition, going to stand out on its own, and it really just needs to be kind of buttressed. And you know, if you're just hell bent on enjoying your pipe while smoking this or while drinking this this particular whiskey, you want to go with something mild, something that's kind of creamy, that can augment a lot of those flavors. You know, maybe round off some of the harder edges that do happen to still be there. And so today, going with a favorite, at least a tobacco that we've sold for quite some time, and from one of our favorite tobacco blenders here in the United States, Cornell and Deal. And today we're matching it with Green River Vanilla. Green River Vanilla.
Okay, so this is kind of interesting because I get like actually vanilla notes from the rare breed.
Yeah.
And so I was curious if you were going to go in any kind of like, you know, sweetness or something of that nature, if there would also be some vanilla and the tobacco.
Yeah, I felt in this particular case, it's one of those bourbons where it's got a lot going on and it's very strong. So you want something that's kind of simple, relatively mild, something that's not going to have a superlative that just really sticks out and punches you in the face. And so I thought an aromatic, a gentle aromatic, would be a good fit for this. And the vanilla does augment or kind of complement the vanilla notes that are already there. I didn't want to go with, when we think of aromatic tobaccos, you kind of have two camps. You have the fruit camp where we think of like cherry, raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, all that kind of stuff. And so you have the fruit side of the thing, and then you have the baking side of it. Things like your chocolate and caramel and vanilla and confectionery stuff like that, but also rum right. flavors and bourbon flavors and things of that nature. And I wanted to lean into that a little bit, just to give a little bit of that extra softness. A lot of the fruit flavored aromatic tobaccos that we find tend to be kind of tart, and I just felt like this was not the bourbon to pair with something that would be relatively tart. So a good solid vanilla. Of course, Cornell & Deal always does a good job on their aromatics. They say burley from the Green River Valley of Kentucky, fire cured and expertly blended to be mild and smooth, flavored with an outstanding vanilla. And so just real creamy and good, nice strength to it. You are going to get a good amount of nicotine from that burley content, but something that will be kind to your mouth, and you certainly need it with the Wild Turkey Rare Breed.
Whew. Yes, anything to be kind to the mouth after like
I know, right? Man, it is so good. It's just surprising, Again, I'm always, I even stun myself at how much sometimes I enjoy it. So it really, really tasty.
All right, good pairing, man. All right, so I find it interesting. I mean, it makes sense. Obviously, we kind of led in with the whole turkey connection here. So why not call a duck a duck, or in this case, a turkey, and go with the Wild Turkey Rare Breed?
Yeah.
However, this second bourbon that we're doing today is also a Wild Turkey product. However, if I'm being totally honest, man, before this episode kind of came together, I don't think I ever realized that Russell Reserve is actually from Wild Turkey, and I feel like an idiot.
Yeah,
for not knowing that.
No, that's right. I wasn't going to tattle on you, going into the show,
confess, man.
I'm glad you came clean. Our devoted listeners would have sniffed it out anyway. You can just say so many Hail Marys or so many John Calvins, and you'll be fine. But
there you go.
yeah, Russell's Reserve, made, of course, by Wild Turkey, and it's a family product. This is something where they were looking to diversify some of their lines, and so came out with some of this excellent whiskey, that just has a kind of a different grade. Of course, you have the Wild Turkey, which is a kind of an entry level product, the Rare Breed, which is a little more premium product, and the Russell's Reserve 10-year, which we're drinking today, which kind of sits in the middle. It's kind of a kind of in that middle vein.
Oh man. Okay. So I got to be honest. I'm trying to down this Rare Breed to make room for the Russells. And make All right, so hang on, let me crack this open. Of course, before opening it, you mentioned, of course, Russell's Family Reserve, and this has Jimmy Russell's name, as well as Eddie Russell as well, literally written right there on the bottle. Whereas the Rare Breed is much more simplistic in its kind of presentation. Russell's, I mean, it's got text all over the place. They've got their story written right here. Right on the top. Russell's again is named after specifically Jimmy Russell. And Jimmy Russell, they say if there was ever going to be a Mount Rushmore of bourbon, Jimmy Russell would be right up there with it. He actually started with the company at a very, very young age and early on. And over the years has actually become quite a powerhouse. And man, I'm like I said, I don't mean any disrespect to Wild Turkey, but I have never considered Russell's a wild turkey bourbon because I kind of like Russell's.
Yeah. See, it hoodwinked you. Yeah, it kind of snuck in there like that. And,
right.
And, you know, probably part of their marketing for this was trying to capitalize on that, trying to come out with more of a little more premium looking of a product that, you know, would make someone think again before they picked, you know, wild turkey off
they,
the
They tricked
the
me.
Shelf.
That's what it is, man. They're exactly right. This is a product that is built specifically for me in terms
for
of
you.
Me
yeah.
as a, yeah, as a customer tier who would be kind of turning the nose up at the concept of wild turkey. But so you got me, Jimmy.
Yep.
You got me. All right.
Well, yeah, of course.
It's a good one. Yeah, go ahead.
It is a really good one, and it's a whiskey that you know, you would think going into this, coming from a lot of the same you know, product base as the Wild Turkey, that these would be very similar tasting whiskeys, and they do have similarities. They are there, but there are dramatic differences here between the two, and something that's just not incredibly apparent until you try two kinds of whiskeys that are similar to this. The Russell's is interesting. Like you said, it's got just a lot of text on the bottle. It says, more than 90 years, that's the combined tenure of master distillers Jimmy and his son Eddie Russell. They hand-selected barrels after at least 10 years of aging, resulting in a bourbon that delivers a balance of rich, spicy vanilla flavors. Their experience guarantees yours. And so it is 10-year-old. This is a milder whiskey. It is a 90 proof whiskey, and so we're talking you know, a pretty dramatic difference there in the strength. Certainly you get that directly from, you know, smelling it before you even consume the alcohol. It's just much more much milder, not nearly that sharp medicinal burn on your nose that you know, immediately lets you know you're drinking you know, something that you could you know, clean you know, road tar with.
Right. This one's not trying to kill you.
It's not. And man, the Buddha of bourbon, as some refer to Jimmy Russell as, you know, he has done a good job here of making something that's premium but also very approachable and not too you know, doesn't box you into one type of bourbon or another. So really good product.
That's right, man. So let's go ahead and have a sip.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. Now, normally about this time in a Squire Select, I say, what a gear change. And as you've already pointed out, it seems almost bizarre to say that about two products from the same distillery,
yeah,
the same manufacturer. But I mean, yeah, I'm telling you, man, what a gear change. This is
a
smooth, smooth bourbon.
And it's sweet. This is a sweet whiskey. It you know, to the, you know, nuanced palate, you immediately get a you know, just a rush of that black cherry that kind of comes forward. It's very, very apparent. You know, it's a sweeter product, and because of those flavors and also the lower alcohol content, you get to experience that a little more. Those kind of come to the forefront some more, where they don't really in the rare breed. You get more of those baking spices and all that stuff. But with the Russell's Reserve, it's just a very fruity experience. It really is. Yeah. It's different. Yeah.
Yeah. Russell's Reserve has always been kind of a like a backup in our house. You know, if the shop,
yeah,
was out of you know, Buffalo Trace, Russell's Reserve is kind of the go-to.
Which is interesting because a lot of people actually compare the two to some degree.
There's
with some of those sweetness. Some of those flavors that are sweet, and when we say sweet, I do mean sweet. I mean, there is that black cherry that really rushes up front, but we're not talking like a candied, sickly sweet. You know, I mean, this is not something that is cloying or anything. It's a pleasant sweetness for a bourbon fan.
That's right.
And so I think you'll enjoy it if you're a fan of you know, more nuanced whiskeys.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so now this changes the game a little bit, because before you wanted to make sure that, you know, the tobacco wasn't like competing with the kind of the intensity of the bourbon. With this one being a lot smoother, a lot sweeter, more of a sippable type of bourbon. That's
yeah,
if you said for the last one, like the last one, like, you know, it's like a workhorse, right? It's come to do the work. This one's come to lounge a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, so what pipe tobacco are you pairing with this one?
Yeah, I felt like this one needed a little more oomph. You know, we needed to supply the experience a little more with some strength. And so today we're going with a very smooth tobacco, something that is wildly popular right now and has been for the past year or so as it came on the market. And we're talking about Sutliff's Crumble Cake English Number 1.
Ooh, interesting.
A great, great English tobacco. It's one of their Crumble Cake series that they came out with about a year ago. They have three different blends. They have a Virginia Perique, a Red Virginia, and the English Number 1, which is just a really, really, really good English blend. It's something that is super smooth, but brings forward a lot of that nice, rich smokiness that you would expect from a Virginia Ford English blend that has been pressed, you know, something that is going to bring out a lot of that, the subtlety with age and pressure and heat. Mm. So from Sutliff, they say an age-old crumble cake consisting of mature Red Virginias, Latakia, Burley, and Oriental tobaccos, a true Balkan-style blend for any English smoker. And comes in a 1.5-ounce tin. The tin, actually, you know, last week, Bo, we talked about, was it last week or week before?
I think it was last week, the
new limited edition crumble cake from Sutliff, the number one barrel with the apple brandy barrel that they did that was good. But, this is from that same series and so has similar artwork here to the tin and, very much kind of plays on the simplicity of it. But a great tobacco, something that, It is a crumble cake, so, you know, it's not quite as intimidating as a flake tobacco. It's something that, if you're, maybe an aromatic smoker and you're looking for kind of that next step, this would be a very approachable tobacco for you to try. You know, something that is easy to prepare, is ready to light almost right out of the gate and, stays lit easily and of course, tastes really good. And it's going to bring more of that smoky flavor, some of the... the mustiness that comes from those Orientals, I think really, is going to complement the Russell's Reserve well. Russell's Reserve, again, this is a whiskey that might kind of fit that same niche. You know, if you're a low-end bourbon drinker or someone that wants, to maybe step up their game a little bit and try something in a different level that's, still approachable and flavorful and it's still enjoyable on, an ice or maybe your favorite mixed drink or something like that. Russell's Reserve 10-year is going to be that whiskey. It's just really good and something that, is not going to offend the senses. So, I think the English Number 1 Crumble Cake, it's loved by English blend lovers, English blend smokers, but it's also an approachable English blend. It's something that's just very very pleasing.
Oh, man, that's all right. Well, there you go. Have you kind of been like on a crumble cake bent lately? Like it seems like
it seems to be, huh? Yeah, I mean, not to be honest, not really. I mean, I smoke a lot of ribbon lately. It seems like, but yeah, we've talked to more and more about crumble cake of late, and even last week, had a flake tobacco, had a crumble cake tobacco. So, yeah, I don't know. You just you get in these ruts, I guess.
Hey, fair enough, man. Keep doing it if it means good recommendations. So. Fantastic pairing as always. And
yeah. Do you know why they call it Wild Turkey?
Yes, actually I do. But why don't you enlighten? You know what? Actually, it would be a lot better if I pretended like I didn't, didn't it? No, John David. Why do they call it Wild Turkey?
Well, my understanding, Bo, is that he was working on this whiskey. This is 100 years ago, and they went on a turkey hunt, and he brought some of this whiskey as a sample with him and his hunting buddies, and they liked this whiskey so much on the hunt that they going forward had asked for, hey, do you have any of that Wild Turkey bourbon that you brought that time? You know, you got any of that stuff we drank while we were hunting wild turkeys? And and so that's where the name came from. Kind of interesting. And that was back in the 1940s.
That's exactly right. And prohibition and just kind of the legalities of getting whiskey from one side of the country to the other really created a unique opportunity for the founders there. And it is that connection with that original Wild Turkey hunt. And as I understand it, the organization, the business, has actually been a big supporter of kind of the Wild Turkey community And I don't mean like fans of their drinks, but like, you know, Wild Turkey Hunters and such. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's they've got a great little story there, and you know, you love to see it from a brand and a company that's been around for so long and has made products that are beloved by many, even people that didn't realize they were loving and enjoying Wild Turkey products.
That's right. They actually, and by the way, the company, the, you know, brand, there's an overarching brand that owns this distillery, and it also is a liquor company that makes, you know, a variety of different liqueurs and vodkas and things like that, the Campari Group. So anyway, just kind of interesting. There's a real pedigree here of premium alcohols that, you know, run all through this family.
So, you know, in kind of preparation for this episode, kind of learning a little bit about Jimmy, you know, and hearing kind of this constantly brought up that, you know, he if there was a Mount Rushmore for bourbon, he would be on it. But it got me to thinking, man, you know, about like this idea of like the Mount Rushmore for pipe tobacco or pipe smoking or pipe carving. And I'm not saying we do that right now. And, you know, maybe this is like a series for next year. But I think that like we might either need to make a special episode or maybe a few special episodes kind of figuring out who would be on the Mount Rushmore. And while I don't know, and I'd love to hear some thoughts, maybe it could be a combination of, you know, listener recommendations and then also just, you know, your expertise in the industry. I think I could safely say when it comes to the Mount Rushmore for pipe carving or pipe manufacturing, like Phil Morgan would be up there, would he not?
Absolutely, man. Of course, he, you know, is at the helm of America's most famous pipe brand, and of course, that's Missouri Meerschaum. Missouri Meerschaum has been in business for over 150 years and produces some fantastic pipes and are legends in their own right. And today, we're actually going to talk about the Country Gentleman pipe, which Jimmy Russell and his whole family, of course, would identify as, and Phil Morgan, for that matter. He's a cosmopolitan country gentleman, but I think he's classy.
Sure.
That's right. The Country Gentleman corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum is the most popular design in our series of larger filtered pipes. It has a large barrel-shaped bowl with a dark stain added to the coating, giving this pipe a unique and distinctive experience. Of course, with a hardwood insert in the bottom of the bowl, it's just a very high-quality pipe and will last a long time and give you years and years of enjoyment if you take good care of it. So, and these pipes are just excellent, and of course we believe them and stand by them and smoke them. So check it out. You can get it at the source at corncobpipe.com. The Country Gentleman retails for only $13.29, and it comes in a straight and a bent variety. So check it out, and man, we know you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely, and if you happen to have one, be sure to smoke it this week to get the good folks know at Missouri Meerschaum know. You appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, pipe question of the week. All right, now I know that, like, you know, lately I've been kind of tossing pipe questions your way. And we've gotten some pipe questions in and want to continue to encourage folks to send pipe questions along the way. But, I mean, like, you know, if I'm being totally honest, and like, you know, this entire podcast, what, almost 10 years ago was based on me trying to get answers on pipe tobacco from you.
That's right. And, you know, now I think you could answer a few of your own pipe questions.
Well, maybe a few. That's good stuff. You know, the great thing is I'm the eternal student. And, you know, that hopefully that adds value to especially kind of our listeners.
Yep.
Absolutely, man. All right. So here's my pipe question for you, though, because, I mean, like, you know, lately we did, I think, earlier this year, an episode kind of, you know, using your quarantine, not wasting your quarantine and, you know, how to make sure that you're taking care of your pipes and, you know, what you can be doing with this additional time that you have with your pipes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right. So let me preface it by asking a question. Okay. Let me try to start it here.
Okay. You're going to preface your question
with a question.
With a question.
That's right.
Okay.
have you ever, or are you familiar with the idea of like picking up a pipe and it's been so long, and of course you take good care of your pipes, but maybe you look at this, you're like, you know, I don't know that I took good care of this before I put it up. And
or maybe it's been up so long that it's just kind of dusty or filthy.
It might be a little dusty. So I guess here's how do you know when a pipe should not be smoked without doing something to it. And what is that something to do to it? What I'm saying is, you know, when the dust has settled on an older pipe that you want to reintroduce into your rotation, how do you prepare that pipe?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, a lot of times you can, you know, obviously, you know, the tip off for this is that you are smoking your pipe and that it just starts to taste sour, or maybe you're having trouble fitting tobacco into the bowl because there's too much cake, or the cake is uneven and therefore it, there's something something nested in your pipe, you know, which I've actually seen before, not from one of my own pipes.
What?
We get all kinds of pipes coming in the shop for folks to have us restore and clean them. And I have seen wasp and hornet nests inside of pipes. I've seen all kinds of mud from where pipes were submerged underwater for a period of time. I've seen it all.
There
are some obvious notes here, things that that could kind of tip you off. But if you're skeptical, the first thing to do, of course, is to run a pipe cleaner through your pipe and see what comes out. that'll give you a good starting line there to run your pipe cleaner through your pipe. And if it's obstructed at all, then you do need to spend some time cleaning it. If your pipe cleaner will run through your pipe, the shank and the stem easily, then there's and comes out dry, where there's no kind of debris or, you know, any kind of carbon buildup or gunk or, you know, dottle on there. I think that you know, that's a pretty good indication that, okay, load your pipe up and smoke it, you know. But and also, if the pipe has been sitting there a while and it hasn't been stored in a drawer, it might be a good idea as well to swab out the inside of the bowl before you load your pipe, just to make sure, you know, because dust does settle inside pipe bowls, especially those of us like myself that like to display their pipes and have a nice collection of them, and also can see them so they remember what pipes they have and all that kind of stuff. Well, what that leads to is, you know, dust settling on the inside of your pipe and also oxidation of your stems, and so the pipes can start to look a little funky. And then, of course, you know, with dust settling in there, you don't want to get any foreign substances other than tobacco in your pipe. So clean the inside of the bowl, clean the inside of the stem and the shank. And when I say clean, just rub a cleaner through there. And if anything comes out that looks foreign or questionable, then it might be time for a good deep clean. And at that point, you know, maybe use some grain alcohol, even your favorite whiskey, maybe some Russell's Reserve or something
of
that nature.
Maybe some Rare Breed. I think that'd probably clean
maybe some Rare Breed. That would clean it out. That there would be nothing nested in that. No turkeys nested in that that pipe after that. So, good question, man. This happened to me recently. Of course,
no.
If you've been listening to the show, you know, last few weeks, you know that that I recently moved. Right. We got into a new house, and I had packed up a significant portion of my pipe collection a little while back, and it kind of neglected some of those pipes, and so got back to them. And once I was unpacking them and kind of getting them in their appropriate places at the new house, you know, just I found that a couple were needing a little extra love, maybe because they'd been sitting on the shelf too long, kind of thing. So swab them out really good and scrub them up and put them back in the rotation, man, because they need to be smoked. Pipes are meant to be smoked, not to be displayed, but to be smoked. Or in my case,
let it be a lesson to all of us. Even John David abuses his pipes.
That's right.
Just kidding. Well, thanks, man. Hey, like I said, I know, look, y'all are ready. We're going to get back to y'all's pipe questions of the week. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire question.
Ow! All right, man. These are some quick fire questions that are definitely going to make our pipe smoking ministers happy. These are coming in from listener Eric. Are you ready, sir?
I bet I know who this is that's writing this in. And man, Eric, you sure know how to kick the ant bed.
is that what he, you know? It's always interesting because, you know, I'm at that stage where I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to fight anybody over this.
That's good. I think, you know, we should all get there at some point. You just, you know, gotten higher on the crotchety meter than I have at this point in life.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go.
All right, Calvinism or Arminianism?
I'm going to go with Calvinism.
Yep.
And I'm not going to explain myself.
Well, you don't have to. You were predestined to answer it. That's the great thing. And if they get mad, well, they were predestined to get mad about it as well. And they're like, well, but I chose to get mad. I was like, no, did you? You were predestined to think you did. No, I'm just kidding, man. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
I'm a Calvinist, but I'm not a jerk about it.
That's what I want on my tombstone. I hope if they put anything, maybe they'll put that. Like, you know, he was a Calvinist, but he wasn't a jerk about it. Yeah.
He didn't like make it a thing. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did for a couple of years, like late in college. But then he was fine.
You outgrow it.
Yeah.
It's called sanctification.
That's right. Believer's baptism or infant baptism?
I'm a paedo Baptist. I'm an infant Baptist guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly understand believer's baptism. Have a lot of friends that, you know, are in that camp, but I'm an infant guy.
You know, it's interesting. I am as well. And I, you know, I bet no problem, you know, if somebody wants to, if you want to dunk instead of sprinkle, no worries, that's fine. But no, it's interesting because I'm in an EPC church now. And there's a lot of, you know, and we have a lot of folks from different kind of denominational backgrounds that kind of, you know, came to this particular church. And it's an interesting experience for me to be in a minority as somebody who believes in infant baptism. It's interesting, man, because it's I'm not used to growing up in the PCA. I'm just not used to a situation where like most of the people are not like 100% behind infant baptism. So that's it's always, I mean, I get it. Like, don't get me wrong. I get that, like, honestly, that we take the weirder of the two, although I think that is very much biblically justified. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah. All right. Hymns or praise songs?
Give me a hymn book, man. It, you know, 10 times out of 10. I mean, the occasional praise song can be, a enjoyable experience. And of course, the goal is not necessarily my enjoyment, but what you're accomplishing. Oh, and, I love a hymn book.
Yeah. I'm both. I'm 100% both, and I think they both kind of serve they both kind of do kind of different things, but I think both of those things are good. And I think they both have a place there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say hymns, though, being you got that old church thing going on, so I knew about
that. Yeah, man. The higher, the better.
dispensationalism or covenantalism?
I'm a covenant guy.
Yeah. Big time.
And again, you know, I'm not going to defend myself, but I am a covenant guy. This is neither the time nor the place. But yeah, Eric asked these questions, and we're going to answer them.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, like, so far we're pretty much fairly aligned on pretty much all of these, which is not surprising given our backgrounds. But yeah, no, I'm covenantalism as well. And then finally, Martin Luther or John Calvin?
Well, this is where you and I might differ. I love Martin Luther. Of course, I love both these guys. They had profound impacts on the history of our faith in particular. But man, Martin Luther, he was just crazy and awesome. And I love reading about him. And man, what a personality, what a force, and how quotable this guy was. I mean, just really courageous in a lot of ways. Not to take anything away from John Calvin, because certainly I identify a lot with him and a lot of his work as well. But man, I love Martin Luther.
We're 100%, man. No, I'm absolutely. I am a Calvinist, but at the same time, no, are you kidding me? Look, Martin Luther, and this is obviously no disrespect to our Catholic listeners and everything. I got a lot of my family is Catholic. But man, you want to talk about like challenging the establishment, the understanding of performance-based activism, and like, you know, getting a message across? Come on, man. We need to go
nail
back
it to the wall, baby.
We need to go back to nailing stuff on doors. I've said that for years now, but that's a whole other thing. But no, yeah, man. Martin Luther is absolutely, yeah. No disrespect to John Calvin at all. As I said, I'm a Calvinist, but
fair enough.
We're 100%. So Eric, I don't know what your intention was, but we were 100% behind almost everything. So there you go.
His intent was probably that a lot of our listeners will not be 100% behind any of this. And so we'll expect lots of feedback on that. And that's fantastic. A lot of people will rightly not even know what any of this is.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
They have no clue. And so, and that's also very a respectable place to be. And, you know, we'd love to, you know, dive in there with you as well.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It's a good primer for our pipe smoking minister, which we have gotten some good stories on too. So
good.
That should make for an interesting episode when we get there. But Eric, thanks for this. And he's got even more for us, so that'll be fun. So stay tuned for that. And if you've got some quick fire questions, be sure to send them into the show. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. Man, we got some listener feedback in from Cole. Cole writes in and says, how the Country Squire Radio ministered to my heart this morning. Bo and John David, I want to thank you guys for the wonderful and delightful podcast and the community you've built through both the podcast and Pipe Shop. I was driving to work this morning listening to a past episode of the podcast, and I nearly started weeping because I felt seen, heard, and loved by you two. I'll spare you the details, but I want you to know that in this year, which has been so isolating and divisive and full of nastiness all around, I almost had to pull my car over because I suddenly felt that there was at least one place in this great big world, one little shop in Jackson, Mississippi, where I could be safe, where I could take my mask off, be seen and loved. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The work that you do to spread the kingdom joy is invaluable. And again, that is coming from listener Cole. So, man, very heartfelt feedback there.
Man, I'm beaming from ear to ear.
I'm
man.
Guessing this is your mom, right? Cole. This
I know,
is
right? Yeah.
No, I'm
Mrs. Cole. Yeah. I know. Mama always did have nice things to say about me.
She
yeah,
did.
Only nice things. Yeah.
It still does.
No, man. It's so, so kind. And Cole, that's incredibly thoughtful. So thank you. And man, we're just glad to be a little part of your experience and hope that that continues.
Absolutely.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely.
Very kind.
Well, hey, we love getting the feedback in, the questions, the quick fire questions and all that kind of great stuff into the show. As I mentioned just a moment ago, show@countrysquireradio.com is the place to send it in. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
Also, you can follow the show handle @squireradio and find information like that and more, including how to nominate your best of choices for 2020 over at countrysquireradio.com. Well, John David, man, I think maybe this rare breed has maybe done
it. Is it working on you?
It's maybe done its thing.
It's working on you. Yeah, I noticed just a little hint there as we kind of stumbled through the episode there, maybe a little slurred speech.
Yeah, hopefully nobody ever goes back and like makes a compilation of like all the like last 5 minutes of every single Squire
of every
Select.
Squire Select yeah. episode. What a disaster. Yeah.
Great.
That was good, man. I look forward to enjoying this bottle. It's a real treat.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.